Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Office Space Solutions Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Amit Ramani, Chairman and Managing Director from Office Space Solutions Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and a very warm welcome to everyone present on the call. Along with me, I have Mr. Sumit Lakhani, our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ravi Dugar, our Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. For Q1 FY26 results, we have uploaded our presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Let me start with a brief overview of the business for the year. We are pleased to share that we have begun FY26 on a strong note, delivering a robust financial performance that reflects the strength of the business model and execution capability. Our revenue for the quarter grew by 30% year-on-year, reaching a total of 335 crores, driven by sustained demand and healthy occupancy levels across our centers. We also witnessed strong operating momentum at the EBITDA level. EBITDA rose by 60% year-on-year to 127 crores, with margins expanding to 37.8%, marking a significant improvement of 710 basis points compared to the same period last year. This margin expansion was supported by better occupancy, enhanced operating leverage, improved cost efficiencies, and disciplined execution across segments. The performance highlights not only the resilience of our platform but also our ability to scale profitably while staying focused on service quality, client experience, and capital efficiency. During the year, our co-working and allied services delivered robust growth of 49% year-on-year to 276 crores. This performance was driven by focusing on diverse cohort split, making customer centricity as a core of our business, along with strong momentum in our allied services business. This segment remains a cornerstone of our strategy, driven by our growing demand for flexible workplace solutions. Our enterprise segment continues to be a key growth driver, fueled by strong momentum from first-time mid-sized GCC entrants, especially across our centers in Bengaluru and Hyderabad. At the same time, our existing GCC clients have continued to deepen our engagement with us, expanding into additional spaces, particularly in our newly launched centers in Hyderabad. Our 100-plus seat cohort now represents 59% of our portfolio, underscoring both the scale and the stickiness of our enterprise relationships. This reinforces our strong value proposition and highlights how our multi-city presence enables us to meet the evolving needs of enterprise clients across locations. Meanwhile, construction fit-out projects have delivered a 58 crore revenue. We see this segment gaining significant traction in the coming quarters, buoyed by a healthy order pipeline and a favorable market outlook, and remain confident of meeting our full-year guidance. Our operational performance remains strong, with seat capacity addition up 40% year-on-year, reflecting the effectiveness and scalability of our expansion strategy. A key pillar of this expansion has been our focus on premium positioning, with 100% of our new centers signed between June 22, 2024, and June 2025, located in Grade A commercial assets. This is a deliberate and strategic shift aimed at addressing the needs of a more discerning and quality-focused clientele, including GCCs, while also ensuring long-term asset sustainability and tenant retention. We have also continued to strengthen our national presence. Since June 24, we launched 4 new Tier 2 centers, increasing our Tier 2 capacity by 25% year-on-year. Further, we entered 4 emerging micro-markets across our network, further broadening our footprint. Our approach to network expansion remains strategic, focused on markets where we see long-term potential. Looking ahead, we aim to build on this momentum with robust pipeline of opportunities across both metro and emerging locations. As previously guided, our approach for FY 2026 continues to be two-pronged strategy. The focus in the first half remains in executing the current pipeline, driving higher occupancy across centers, and enhancing operational productivity. Having already secured significant number of seat sales scheduled for occupancy in the coming quarters, we have strong visibility on near-term revenues. Looking ahead to the second half of the year, we plan to undertake strategic and calibrated capacity expansion, looking at demand visibility, market potential, and capital efficiency. This disciplined approach will not only reinforce our leadership position in the flex space industry, but also ensure we remain on sustainable growth trajectory, creating long-term value for all stakeholders. Let me hand over the call to Mr. Sumit Lakhani, our CEO, to share Q1 FY 2026 operational highlights.
Thank you, Amit. Good evening, everyone. I would like to share with you the operational highlights for Q1 FY 2026. On the supply side, during the quarter, we added 6,065 new operational seats, bringing our total capacity to about 140,186 operational seats across 220 centers pan-India as of June 2025. Including centers currently in the fit-out phase and those under LOI, our total capacity now stands at over 165,000 seats across 246 centers, covering an expansive 8.3 million sq ft. Over the past year, we have added a total of 47 centers and 43,452 total seats, underscoring our ability to meet the growing demand for high-quality, flexible workspaces nationwide. As of June 2025, our exit month occupancy stood at 73%, while centers operational for over 12 months achieved a robust 84% occupancy. This performance, despite the significant addition of new seats during FY 2025, underscores the sustained demand for our premium workspace solutions. Year-on-year, our growth remains strong. Operational seats in center grew by 40% and 30% respectively. Total seats in centers increased by 39% and 25% respectively. Looking ahead, we have a pipeline with signed LOIs for 14 new centers, adding approximately 9,800 seats and 0.5 million sq ft of chargeable area. On the demand side, we signed contracts for 15,000 new seats in Q1 FY 2026, demonstrating strong performance on the demand front versus 11,000 seats in Q1 of FY 2025. Notably, 41% of our clients operate across multiple centers within our network versus 36% in Q1 of FY 2025. The average client tenure has increased to 36 months with an average lock-in period of 24 months, demonstrating strong long-term client commitment. Our client base remains highly diversified with more than 3,200 active clients as of June 30, 2025. We have approximately 18,000 seats already signed, which are scheduled to move in during Q2 and Q3. This translates to a locked-in revenue of 463 crores. Our enterprise portfolio continues to strengthen, with 51 clients taking over 100 seats each and nine clients taking over 300 seats each, all already committed to move in. That concludes my update. I'll now hand over to Ravi, our CFO, for the financial discussion.
Thanks, Sumit. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to everyone. Let me give you a quick overview on our financial performance. For Q1 FY 2026, our consolidated operating revenues stood at rupees 335 crore, which is a strong growth of 30% on a year-on-year basis. The operating EBITDA stood at 127 crore, which is a growth of 60% on a YoY basis. The margins stood at 37.8% as against 30.7% in Q1 of last year, which is a growth of 710 basis points. In Q1 FY 2026, our PAT is rupees 10 crore versus a profit of rupees 3 crore in Q1 of last year. On the IGAAP equivalent basis, which is adjusted for Ind AS 116 on lease rentals and Ind AS 109 and 102, the Q1 FY 2026, our consolidated operating revenue stood at 335 crore, again a growth of 30% on a YoY basis. The operating EBITDA stood at rupees 48 crore, which is a growth of 60% on a YoY basis. the margins stood at 14.5% as against 11.5% in Q1 of FY25, which is a growth of 300 bps. For Q1 FY26, IGAP equivalent depreciation stood at INR 27 crores. In Q1 FY26, PAT is 25 crores versus rupees 15 crores in Q1 of last year. We continue to maintain a very strong liquidity position. Our gross debt stood at around rupees 7 crores, resulting in a debt-equity ratio of 0.02, a notable improvement from 0.08 in Q1 of last year. Additionally, our net debt-to-equity ratio is minus 0.18. With continued improvement in profitability and liquidity, we expect to remain in a very comfortable position on debt-equity ratio. A return to capital employed is at 67% annualized for Q1, which versus a 62% for the whole of financial year 25, underscoring the strength of our financial performance. That is all from our end. We now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhidev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. So first is mainly a housekeeping question. Could you elaborate on the CapEx you have incurred for this quarter and any guidance for the year overall, depending on how our seat addition pipeline is looking? That is the first question.
For the quarter, the CapEx what we have incurred is around 50 crores. And the guidance we continue to see very strong momentum across all our sectors, and depending on the need in the coming financial year, the company will continue to evaluate the CAPEX spends depending on our growth aspirations.
Okay, so if you take a broader view, this will be equivalent to 200 crores or more in the coming year as well?
It will be in the same line, yeah, as last year.
Okay. So my second question is on our operating margins. Now, do you see a potential for further improvement in margins in the coming years? It's more a structural question. It's not limited to a quarter. Considering you mentioned that you are adding more and more premium office spaces, right, in more grade A buildings. So do you expect the overall profile to again go upwards over a longer term? Yeah, thank you.
So, with respect to the overall margin view, the way we look at is over the next, couple of years, we are looking for margin expansion because of, the blended occupancy growing up. It will be the largest contributor for it. If you look at currently, because we are almost a large number of our seats are less than 12 odd months. So the blended occupancy is currently about 73 odd percent. In next 2-4 years, we expect this percentage to keep on changing, and there will be much more mature centers around. So we expect a significant level of margin expansion in long term over the next 1-3 years just by a change in the blended occupancy. Second, we expect an improvement in margins primarily from the operating leverage as well. And the third one, as you mentioned, is we are on a drive for premiumization with more number of elite and gold centers coming up, which will have impact on the margins. And the last point I would say is where we are very focused is increasing our allied services, which is primarily the tech offerings, F&B offering, which we provide as an integrated to our customers. That will also help around in the margin. So structurally, we are in a trajectory for margin expansion over the next 2-3 years.
Okay. Sure, fine. Now that is pretty helpful. I'll come back if I have more questions. Yeah. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Amit, Sumit, and Ravi. Again, I just wanted to understand the margins better. You just mentioned about the structural scope for increase, but if you could help us with understanding the current margin structure in the mature centers currently you are operating with, and also what the kind of drag which is coming in from newer assets, that will be helpful and will help us understand much better the scope for expansion.
Sure. So this is more on a pure play fundamentals base, how we look at the business and at a ideal center kind of, unit economics. Any center which hits a mature stage, so let's say a 12-month plus kind of a vintage for us, in a straight lease model, we generally look at center EBITDA margins of about 30 to 35% for that center. For a managed aggregation, closer to about 23 to 25%. So on a blended basis between MA and SL, our view is about, 27 to 28 odd percent as a blended kind of a contribution margin for these centers. Now, it takes us at least around 9 to 10 odd months to hit about 80-85% of occupancy. So the portfolio of new centers have a kind of a, a drag. Even while we get some level of rent freeze or decent level of rent freeze for initial occupancy buildup, but they still have a kind of a drag on the overall margin. If you look at our current center profile as of 32, approximately almost about 30 to 32% of our seats would be under the bucket, which would be less than 12 months of vintage. So we expect that, once these centers hit almost about 12 months plus kind of, vintage, and with an improved kind of occupancy, the margins are going to improve. Second point, Girish, like I mentioned in my commentary, we already have signed up, almost about 18,000 seats, which will go live in Q2 and Q3. And this I am saying the demand. So we have signed up clients, across 18,000 odd seats, which will go live in Q2 and Q3. So this is a significant level of, seats as a sign up which we have done. So this is by Q3 end, I am expecting an improvement around in the blended occupancy as well overall. And so this is how we primarily look at the business. Though Q3 and Q4 will also be the quarters where our supply expansions also go around on a larger scale.
In terms of corporate overheads, where are we? And you also mentioned about the operating leverage, right? So how should we see that going ahead?
So like in the last quarter, we mentioned that the overall way we look at is almost about generally annually about 0.2 to 0.5 odd percent kind of improvement in margins because of corporate overhead efficiencies. Specifically for this year, the kind of overall guidance we have done in terms of the EBITDA margins is similar to last year, because we have built up a decent level of teams and put in resources for long-term growth of the company. And the overall guidance around on the margins, which also factors in some kind of, operating leverage from corporate overhead, is supposed to be same as of FY25 with a bit of a upward bias.
Sure. My second question is on the construction and fit-out business. You mentioned in the opening remarks about a strong pipeline. If you can share any number, what's the order book like and what's the cycle of that order book?
So Girish, this is obviously very strong demand in this segment. The better we are looking at this segment is on a half yearly or a yearly basis, and clearly there's a bit of a time gap, right, on how when you have the project and the revenue delivery. The current number was 58 crores and for Q1 FY26, and we are currently looking at underlying demand is healthy, and we have a strong execution pipeline of over 100 plus crores, and obviously are confident of a strong growth in FY26.
Got it. So the current order book is 100 crores, right? So that's the
Yeah. So Q1 FY26 number was 60-odd crores, and then the order book is about 100-plus crores.
Sure. Sure. Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Congrats on the good set of numbers. The question was on the bookkeeping side, what was the rental profit share paid to the landlords during the quarter for the current quarter?
So the profit share what we have paid is 20 crores, and the total rental paid is around 94 crores.
94 crores, of which 80 crores was cash adjustments in the Ind AS table you have mentioned, right, in the presentation?
Yeah. So the total rental paid is 94, out of which 20 crore is part of the other expenses, and 74 is part of the lease rental payment under Ind AS 116.
Okay. And what was this amount last year, I believe?
So the total last year number was around?
111 crore, right?
You're talking about Q4 or last full year?
No, no. Full year was 111. I'm talking about quarterly because it seems a little low. Yeah.
Okay. Just give me 2 minutes. I'll give you that number.
Sure. And second is on the occupancy, which we reported for the current quarter, 73%. We were kind of looking at focusing on improving the occupancy, and we were also looking at NSE, the straight lease coming in. If you look at the mix in the current quarter, straight lease share has increased in the overall pie. That should reflect in the improvement in the occupancy, but it didn't happen so. If you can just elaborate a little bit on that as well, it would be helpful.
See, if you look at the occupancy level, it has to be looked in the context of the overall new seats added.
Added, yeah.
Now, almost, as I mentioned, about 30% of our seats currently are less than 12 months old. So they are going through various phases of occupancy build-up. Second, I'm not able to understand your question around on the straight lease versus MA. The MA continues around in a similar kind of a ratio as between straight lease and MA mix. These straight leases, which we are signing, a couple of them are also not on where we are building up the occupancy in those. So they are not generally purely back-to-back kind of straight leases.
Okay. Got it.
Q2 and Q3, like I mentioned, we have a decent, a very strong pipeline of signed clients. A lot of them are under the back-to-back kind of scenario. So that's where a couple of those straight leases are coming up.
Got it. And lastly, on the allied services for the current quarter, if you can provide that number. And we have also launched a few of the allied services in the last quarter, like the CAF services plus network support services and other related ancillary services. How those are doing, if you can elaborate on that?
Sure. So in Q1 FY26, the allied services revenue grew about 43% year-on-year. Approximately, it's about 45-odd crores for the quarter. Obviously. Sorry, I'll just take that back. How much was the total?
Allied services revenue.
For quarter?
For the quarter?
For the quarter.
For this quarter?
Yes.
It's around 36.
It's about 36. Sorry, I take that back, crores. And obviously, driven by deeper penetration within the existing client base, our focus on obviously delivering value around F&B, tech labs has taken off well, mobility products are doing fairly well. And then we obviously had started employee transportation as well in partnership with Ecos Mobility. So I think all of this has kind of resulted in this 43% year-on-year growth that's out there.
Okay. 43% year-on-year growth, and absolute amount is 36%. Then if I look at the core co-working space sales, It seems that sequentially occupied seat revenue has moderated quite a bit from 8400 to 7800. This is purely because of mix, or I am looking at occupied, so it factors in the occupancy as well. So if you can, because if I look at adjusting the ancillary revenue, the revenue sequentially are flat at 240 odd crores out of the total 276 crore we reported. If I adjust the 36 crore which you just mentioned, we are at 240 crore of core space revenue, which is more or less similar to last quarter. So despite a seat getting added, during the quarter, our sales are more or less flat, which implies the rentals has kind of moderated. If you can just, I'm trying to just,
So yeah. There is no underlying decrease in the average seat price. Rather, over the last couple of quarters, what we have seen is a constant increase in the same center seat pricing, because the underlying rentals in commercial real estate have increased. So there is kind of a decrease, rather it's on an upward trend, the overall price realization. When we look at the price realization per seat, it also gets a bit skewed around in that quarter, the new centers which come around in which kind of micro markets, because if they're coming in micro markets with lower rentals, skews it a bit. Second, it also skews it a bit at what time of the quarter is the occupancy coming in. If in the third month you have more kind of occupancy coming in, so it skews around on the overall aspect. If you primarily see, we don't have any kind of decrease in a seat pricing.
Got it. And just coming back to the rental about.
So I will tell you, with respect to the rental, probably one of the reasons why you are seeing a kind of a shift in terms of a similar kind of a co-working space revenue is we had a large customer signed up, which we have signed up for almost about 3-odd quarters. And this quarter was where the exit of that customer happened, and it had an impact of almost about closer to about 5 to 6-odd crores on the revenue.
Okay. And no, I'm asking on the profit share, you mentioned 20 crore. If you can give me Q4 and last year sequential and YY number of the profit share number would be helpful. That's all from my end.
Then you can take down the numbers. So for Q1 current year, the Ind AS 116 rental is 95 CR. The other expense, which is the profit share, is 27. So that makes it around 122 crores of payout.
Total payout, right. Okay. 27 is. And if you can provide similar numbers for last year and quarter and last quarter sequentially.
Yeah. Last quarter, the number is against 122. We paid around 108 crores. The breakup of which is Ind AS 116 is 77. And the profit share is
remaining 31 crore. It has declined. Okay. And last year Q1?
Okay. Last year Q1, again, I'll have to take it out. Just give me I'll come back.
Okay. I'll join back in Q1. You can separately give me. Thanks. All the very best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Sabu from Choice Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I want to know, regarding a seat addition target for the next year, do we see any upside to it? And also, if you could just elaborate on how the competitive intensity, shaping up in our critical micro market cells. What are the risk mitigation strategies that we are developing there, to face this increased competition overall in the flexible working space?
So, broadly speaking, our guidance remains the same as last year. So what we had done last year, about 40-odd thousand seats, is the guidance for FY26 as well. In terms of the competitive landscape, I think, you know, because of our model being a bit different than most of the, you know, flex operators, one, in terms of size, our typical size is between 30 to 35,000 odd square feet, which is a bit different than what most others compete for. Second, our model obviously looks at, you know, doing a split of 65% managed aggregation, 35% straight lease. So our profit share model obviously being unique is one of a kind, and I think is allowing us to continue to expand. And you've seen that over the last almost, you know, year plus that we have been able to maintain that, you know, sort of mix there. So from that standpoint, I don't think we see any challenges in terms of, you know, continuing to add our seat capacity, and the guidance remains the same as last year.
Okay. So 40,000 seats in the next 2 years, right?
No, over FY26.
Over FY26,
right. We added approximately 40,000 seats for FY25. The same guidance remains for FY26.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shiv Kumar Prajapati from Ambit Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Yes. Hi, sir. Thanks for having my question. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. So, sir, my first question is on sector exposure. I believe around close to 50% of our top line comes from IT and IT-enabled services. And currently, some layoffs have been announced. So I just want to understand, what impact does this have on us, and going forward, how we plan to deal with these things? And if you could share the churn rate sector-wise, that would be really helpful.
So to answer the first part of your question, you know, we currently have about 35 to about 37% of our business comes from IT, ITS. Overall, 65% is from large enterprises and corporates. And then obviously, in addition, about 10% comes from BFSI, 10 from consulting, and 10 from sort of other service offerings, right? So we have a diverse base of this happening, you know, currently. In terms of IT, ITS, if you really look at it from the outside, it all looks as one, right? But there are three parts of the IT, ITS that is there, which is essential. We are looking at the India-facing IT, which is one-third, the GCC, which is seeing a huge, you know, growth, and then obviously IT-ITS. You are absolutely right that in some of the IT-ITS, which was the offshoring part of it, there is some bit of, you know, challenge that is there. But all other, the two segments, so the India-facing as well as the GCC, has kind of filled up that demand. So we don't anticipate any challenges coming overall from an industry standpoint. And currently also, we're not seeing in the last few quarters any, you know, changes to that as well.
Okay, great, sir. So, I mean, there are no issues in contract renewals or any cancellations from this sector, right?
So by specific by sector, we don't see any, you know, challenge. And typically, our churn is roughly about 1-odd%, right? So it continues to remain in that range. So I don't see any challenges in the, you know, in the first quarter itself.
Great, sir. So my next question is, like, few new IPOs are in the market, which are, you know, largely traditional lease models. So are we experiencing any pricing pressure in any of the markets, or, you know, any expected pricing pressure in the coming time? And we like, will we be able to maintain our 9,000 plus of, you know, per seat realization, given we have like most of our centers, you know, are in grade A assets in the last 1 year? So just want to understand this 9,000 realization per seat. Where can we see this at the end of FY26?
So to answer the first part of your question on the competitive landscape, obviously the competition has been there in private as well as public, right? Obviously, now we see a few of our other, you know, sort of counterparts going public. So I don't think the competition intensity has not been there. It's been there for the last, I would say, 5 odd years since we have had a great run post the blip in COVID and the flex. and establish itself as a as a part of the commercial real estate market. So I think from that standpoint, I don't see any changes from that time. As far as the 9,000 goes, that is a factor clearly of the micro market rental, right? And I think the micro market rentals have been robust over the last couple of years. I think we have seen one of the best years last year for commercial leasing and also for flex space, right? So from that standpoint, I don't anticipate any challenge on the maintaining or upping the per seat price. I probably cannot give you a specific guidance on the FY26 end of the year number, but clearly maintaining or having upward bias towards that number, I don't think has been a challenge, and it's been demonstrated over the last few years as well.
All right, that's great. And sir, did we benchmark ourselves with the peers, in case of cost per seat, like CapEx, OPEX, or return ratios? If you could, highlight few of the positives that we stand out against the peers.
So it's very hard to kind of compare without a context, right? Our model is very, very different. For us, clearly our managed aggregation continues to remain one of our hallmarks. We have been able to prove that for the last few years to maintain the kind of, the seat capacity addition that we have done. Second, the network, currently 200, 10 odd centers that are live. There are another, 30, 40 that are on the horizon. So 250 plus centers, 18 cities, almost 60 plus micro markets. That gives us a very different edge and, clearly something that we continue to focus on. The client diversity, we demand diversity. We have a healthy mix of more than 100 seats, about 49%, 41% is less than 100 seats. So we service every type of customer, every type of cohort in the market. And then clearly, I think the customer centricity obviously is at the core of it. And hence today, we are able to service 3,200 client companies in the portfolio, right, which is probably a large portion of, private and publicly listed companies. So from that standpoint, I think these are the key differentiators. We don't benchmark specifically on specific metrics, clearly, but these are kind of the differentiators for us.
And so my last question is, in retail business, we track same sales growth to understand, the real growth of the business. So in this, do we track some same center revenue growth kind of thing? If you can share the growth for mature centers on YOY basis.
So on an annual basis, while we are not, tracking and reporting the SSG aspect, but if you look at the fundamental business, because the customer cohort comes at different time of the year, but on every contract there is an escalation clause. Also, on average, from every customer we end up getting on a blended average of about 5% kind of annual escalation. It could be generally between 3 to 5% for a larger cohort, and between 5 to 7% for a smaller cohort. And we see the margins generally intact or having a bit better around in the coming years. So we see the mature centers give a better kind of overall margin as well as a revenue profile.
Yeah, that's helpful, sir. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit 2 questions per participant and come back in the queue for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Vikrant Kashyap from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and congrats on a strong set of numbers. You highlighted a strong growth in co-working space this quarter, and just wanted to know what are the demand growth drivers for in this segment and how sustainable are they? Are you able to maintain such kind of growth going forward in this year and ahead?
Yeah. See, the co-working segment grew by 49% year-on-year, and so it was primarily driven through strong seat sales momentum and then better occupancy in various centers and disciplined capacity expansion into grade A assets. If you look at in Q1 alone, we have sold 15,000 new seats, Further, we have approximately 18,000 client seats which are signed and which are scheduled to move in during Q2 and Q3. And this is expected to generate a locked-in revenue of almost about 463 crores. We've also seen a strong momentum from first-time GCC entrants. Companies like ABC Fitness, Meltwater, amongst others, they're signing up for multi-market presence along with us, and especially in key micro markets in Bangalore and Hyderabad. And so Elite product launch also has given boost to this momentum for larger MNCs and GCCs signing up with us. And so we expect the co-working segment growth momentum to remain strong through the remaining FY26 as well.
Okay, my second question on the Elite. So how many seats are under Elite portfolio, and going ahead during FY26 and 27, how many seats we are expected to add under official Elite version?
So as of now, we have three centers live in Elite, which are approximately closer to about, you could say, 2,800 to, 3,000 odd seats would be across these three centers. For the remaining part of the year, we are expecting to add closer to 3 to 4 more centers.
Thank you, and wish you best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashwardhan Agrawal from IIFL Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. So thanks for this opportunity. Earlier, you have told that contribution margins in MA model is around 23 to 25%, between 30 to 35% for SM, and blended contribution margin for the center level would be 27 to 28%. So, sir, what will be the EBITDA margins, and what are the costs between EBITDA and contribution margin? Can you please explain that?
So, Yash, what I explained over there is a scenario with respect to an ideal center once it hits maturity. So, in an ideal scenario, when we get about 27% or 20 across the whole portfolio, we expect, and I'm talking more about, a bit more a long-term kind of situation where we where the percentage of mature centers to the total portfolio is quite different than the current color. We would expect in an ideal scenario to reach closer to about 18 to 20 odd percent of EBITDA under the contribution margin. We would expect closer to about 7 to 8 odd percent as the overall corporate overhead.
Okay, so the 18 to 20% EBITDA margin, that is huge corporate expenses at the company level.
So the current EBITDA margin, what we have reported, is around 14.5%. What Sumit is mentioning is what we desire to reach, which is around 17 to 18%. The difference between a 14.5 and a 26% is around 10% of corporate overhead.
Got it, sir. And in terms of margin, if I look
sorry
at the bottom.
Sorry to interrupt. So we would request you to come back for a follow-up question, as there are several participants waiting in the queue.
Okay.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Khanna from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to check, and sorry, a basic question, but the 50 crores of reported EBITDA that you shared for 1Q, is this the cash EBITDA, or is that is that a different number? Is the cash EBITDA different from this 50 crore number?
So the cash EBIT, what we have reported, what you can calculate actually is around, including other income, is around 67 crores. Now, if I have to add the other income component in this 48 crores of the operating EBITDA, it would be around 57-58 crores.
So the cash EBITDA excluding
The cash EBIT excluding other income would be around 58.
About 9 crores out of the 67 gets netted off.
But that's more of a reflection of the cash effect.
Fair enough, fair enough. And when you say that you have this 60 crores of revenue coming from construction and fit out projects, is there an EBITDA number that you could attribute to this? Maybe an 8-10%, whatever margin this works at, or if you could just give some sense on the number.
Yeah, so segment margin for that particular segment is around 7.5%, which is after all the costs. That's the PBT.
At the EBITDA level.
That's the PBT level. Yeah.
It won't be too different at the, because there would be limited depreciation and finance costs for that, I understand, right?
Yeah.
And that 7.5% has been that way for a while, or has that number changed in the last 1 or 2 years?
So in the last one, the number has actually improved. So it was earlier in the range of around 6.5. Now it's around 7.5.
All right. And just one last thing. When you say that you're trying to move more towards these premium centers, which I understand are more on the owned business model from grade A developers, is that a strategic shift because of the lack of availability of revenue sharing agreements as much as you'd want it, or is that irrespective of you getting the revenue sharing agreements? I mean, would you do it still if you had the availability of these revenue share / managed aggregation agreements still?
So the availability of, managed aggregation profit share centers continues to be very strong, right? I mean, the pipeline there last year you saw was the hottest market ever in history of India of 80 million square feet of commercial real estate, and we added the highest capacity ever in our own history last year, right? 40,000 seats, of which about 66% was in the MA model. So I don't think that has been is an issue, and I don't believe that in the future it will be an issue. But having said that, to answer your question on the premiumization, clearly as you saw some of the market, right, post-COVID, enterprises came in a big way, and about 18 months ago, some of the large multinationals and GCCs, after the uncertainty of COVID went away, started expanding aggressively, right? So we clearly believe that we need to be able to service every type of customer, and hence we are, almost 40% in less than 100, 60% more than 100 feet cohort. So we are servicing every type of customer. The tiering of the model, which is basically our flagship product, which we believe does really, really well, then our gold centers and now elite, provides the ability to service every type of tiered customer, be it a GCC, multinational, be it a premium Indian multinational, or be it a more, SMEs and mid-corporate type customers. So I think the intention to expand there was not because of supply. It was clearly to address every single customer segment and to address every type of need that exists in the market, right? And we clearly believe that at the premium end, just like, you get luxury cars, right? The opportunity is there, but it's limited. But India being a value country, clearly a large opportunity exists in our flagship product as well. Hence, we are continuing to grow each of them in a similar segment where 85% of the product will continue to be flagship and about 15% will be a mix of gold and elite.
And there's a point to
be added.
Sorry to interrupt.
We would like to request you to come back for a follow-up question as there are several partners.
What is the management speaking?
Okay, so the point I wanted to add over here was, as a conscious move over the last 4 to 5 quarters, what we have done, because the MA model also became very, very established, the quality of assets which we are picking up in MA has improved significantly than what we used to do about 3 to 4 years back. So that's where in the commentary that we are highlighting.
All right. That is helpful. Thanks. Just maybe one last statement that I wanted to add. Would that mean that your more premium products would generally and historically have been on the straight lease model and they would continue to be that way? And revenue share plus premium products aren't generally something that go hand in hand? Or is that maybe not the right understanding?
No, so that won't be the right understanding. See, elite... as a category is one very specific category which probably may not come a bit straightforward in MA. But the MA itself gives a lot of opportunity for premium products, and we are going for more grade A assets or only grade A assets in managed aggregation as well. We have a couple of office gold centers in under managed aggregation model as well. So at least internally, we would endeavor that in the next couple of quarters, we would have elite centers also coming under MA model.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shamit Asar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I just wanted to know if you are seeing, you know, some sort of ripple effect from the slowdown in the IT sector, because last quarter in your presentation, your approximately 45% of the clientele was from the IT sector. So could you point out that number this quarter?
So the percentage remains almost the same from IT sector. So it ranges between 45% to 47% from IT, ITES for us. We are not seeing any kind of you know, decline in terms of demand coming up from the sector. I mean, despite what we hear about the commentary. Probably it's a function of the kind of space they are taking from flex players. So from the whole sector, we are not seeing any kind of, you know, change in demand.
All right. And, you know, I've gone through a couple of DRHPs from your competitors. So a lot of players are reporting the revenue to rent multiples. So have you worked out that number for office yet?
So I don't have an immediate kind of a current for this quarter, but generally on a ideal center basis, our rental revenue ratios range from about 2.2 to 2.5.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Shrimal from Pink Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible.
Yes.
Yeah. This most of the questions have been answered. Just a couple of questions. Speaking about the micro market, are we seeing any demand increasing from tier 2, tier 3 cities, and are we thinking of expanding our portfolio further, or are we focusing on tier 1 cities at the moment?
So as we have been giving the guidance, I think for a while now, that the current you know, tier 1 and tier 2 city split is about 89% and 11% in tier 2 cities. We believe that you know, clearly having a diversified network across some 18-19 odd cities, that 18 of those we have already launched. We are in the process of launching Vijayawada, so about 19 odd total cities. We believe that having a diversified network, I think, is very, very important, and hence we have established that these 1920 cities will be the growth for the future. Now, the demand in tier 1 cities will continue to be strong, and hence about, I would say, 85 to 90% of our portfolio, we will continue to expand in tier 1 cities. While we want to continue to expand in tier 2 cities as well, obviously the base is smaller, hence the growth seems higher in the initial years. We also believe that, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years, all of these tier 2 cities will become fairly established, and as they become established, we want to be the market leaders, like we are market leaders in tier 1 cities as well.
Oh, understood. One last question, sir. You said that we have approximately commitment of 18,000 seats coming in Q2, Q3. So, and we are going to open 3 new centers. So are they related, or the 3 new centers? Does your renowned centers include the 18K number, or is that separate only?
Okay, so I'll just clarify for everyone. When I say 18,000 seats, these are the seats which are coming from the demand side, not the supply side. Okay. So these are the seats which we have signed up for customers whose you know, handover will happen of the space in Q2 and Q3. And we will start getting revenue from these seats in Q2 and Q3. So there's a committed kind of demand which we have signed up.
Oh, okay. Oh, understood, sir. Great. Yeah. That's it from my side. And best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Patel from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, you mentioned strategic focus on GCC and enterprise clients. What will be the share of GCC clients today? And in 3 years from now, where do you see that going? Also, does it mean increase in the size of new centers that you put catering to GCC demand, and also would be looking at managed campus at some point of time?
Can you repeat your second part of the question?
Would it lead to increasing size of centers as you cater to more GCC demand, and including putting up managed campus for GCCs?
Okay. So primarily, from our perspective, the way we are tracking is more on the first time GCCs which are coming to India, because the existing GCCs are already part of, have been part of our ecosystem for a much longer time. I don't have a percentage as of now with respect to give with respect to the percentage of these GCCs, the first-time GCCs as a percentage of total occupied seats as of today, but probably in the next couple of quarters, once this number becomes meaningful, we'll share it with you. I'll just give you a straightforward aspect. In the last 6-odd months, we would have signed 9 new GCCs which have come to India for the first time. Now, generally, if you look at a couple of these GCCs, they are starting with 50-odd full-time employees. This could translate to maybe, 75 to 80 seats in our perspective. Two, they are starting with, and growing, or to certain GCCs which are starting with almost about 250 full-time employees kind of situation. So we have signed up from 50 to 650 across these GCCs. And broadly, our sweet spot when we sign an enterprise customer is generally about 30 to 50 or 1,000 square feet of centers. And that discipline we are maintaining around, and because we on a case by case basis and on a very strategic basis, we end up doing a very large center for a single client.
Okay, could you repeat how many seats Q1? I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, so I said we have signed almost about 9 odd GCCs in the last 6 months, which are the first time GCCs coming to India.
I got that. Separately, I was asking how many 1,000 more seats to be leased in 2 quarters, but how many were leased out in Q1? Around 15,000?
Yes, 15,000 seats.
Okay. And lastly, on the furniture business, you're looking for some more investment. Where would you be looking to do that investment? And, what is your thought process around, starting a third vertical?
So, if you look at, I'll answer the second part of the question and I'll come back to the first part. So, second part, what is the, logic, right? So, if you look at our, discussion that we did about a quarter ago for the full year guidance, we were clear that we were evolving from just a co-working managed office operator to a platform that's integrated and provides all the different services that a workplace user requires, right? So hence we have co-working, we have managed office, which are fully established. In the last 3 years, we have established design and build services, which is our fit-out business. We expanded our allied services, where we added the tech labs, which is our IT solutioning. We added food and beverage cafeteria management. We added mobility. We added the transportation solution through our partnership with Ecos Mobility. So a user that requires any of these services can come to a kind of a one-stop-shop solutioning, right? So it's going to a bank where you can get a savings loan, you can get a personal loan, or you can get a credit card. Similarly, if you think about furniture, the buyer of the furniture is the same buyer of the co-working or managed office solutioning. And hence, we believe that adding the furniture business adds to that element. Today, almost less than 10% of our customers' co-working is in co-working. The 90% of the portfolio is in conventional space, where they are buying design build services or furniture or any of these aspects from other providers. We believe that having access to 3,200 client companies gives us the ability to offer furniture also as a service offering. To answer the first part of your question, this year we anticipate somewhere around 7 to 10 crores of investment that will go towards establishing the capacity, firstly to kind of for our own consumption, and then obviously simultaneously expand into third-party solutioning as well for furniture.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Sumit Lakhani for closing comments.
So we thank everyone for joining the call today. We hope we have been able to give you a detailed overview of our business and also answer your queries. Should you have further queries or clarifications, please feel free to reach out to SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Office Space Solutions Limited, concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.